welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yo Profs, okay? Hi, I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. What's up?
Nothing. How you doing?
I'm great. I just watched Real Housewives of Salt Lake City last night, so how could I not be anything other than great right now?
The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City coming to you today on Crappens On Demand. We're on video today, so if you want to see this recap, come on over. For everyone who's here, hi. You can find that on Patreon along with our bonus episodes. We'll be recording this week's bonus tomorrow. Okay, and tomorrow we're also going to have the Southern Charm part. I was going to say season finale. Thank God we're past that. It is the Southern Charm reunion part two coming up.
Yeah, okay. That was last one was a lot of drums bopped. That was a lot of drums bopped. Too.
It was a real drums bop, y'all.
This is a real drums bop. Yep.
So let's get on with Southern Charm. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. God, is that where I am? You know what? I had some Chex Mix and I feel drunk. I feel drunk on Chex Mix. I've got like salt bloat in my face. My eyes are closing. I've got Chex Mix bloat. So take it away, Ben. Do whatever the hell you want.
Well, it's Bagel Thursday for me. So I had a bagel and I'm really on that high. I just want to point out also, we will be recapping the season premiere of Summer House on Monday. There's no Atlanta this week because of the Super Bowl. So Salt Lake City opens up with some music going, oh, oh, and we just get a lot of shots of the Mormon temple. Be like, remember, we're in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, don't forget, these are Mormons, okay? Well, they're not really, but it's supposed to be all Mormons. So it's like, oh, dong. Oh, and it starts like forming into Katy Perry's Firework, which I kind of liked because wasn't Katy Perry like she was raised in some kind of cult or something, wasn't she?
I think so. I think she was in Mary's church. I could be wrong though.
She started sobbing in Mary's choir, Mary's terrified choir.
She was the one person who could sing on beats. They had to get rid of her. So,
You give her a lot of credit, actually, I have to say.
Have you ever
you just
been...
really upped Katy Perry's game.
Have you ever
felt like a plastic bag? Shut up, seriously. And I love that song, actually. But that makes me so mad. I'm like, don't just steal American Beauty's shit for your stupid teeny bopper song. Now sing it again because I love it. Thanks, Katy.
You know, a teenage dream. Possibly a song about Mary and her grandfather. So Whitney. That's a good song. my wife's church is girls. They unforgettable. I'm making him sound like a pedophile, which he is not. I'm not saying that. Just anyway.
I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, do you ever feel like a plastic bag? After hearing all of that, I feel like putting a plastic bag over my head, honestly. It's gross.
Are you ready for your grandpa's dick? Your grandpa's dick.
Oh. All right.
I mean, okay. I took it too far.
Rapid. Okay. So Whitney, so now we're into this crazy, guys, this has been a really exciting season, which it actually has. It's been a very good first season.
Yeah.
But they're doing the weird flashes in black and white, and then everything's just repeated over and over again. So Whitney is sitting on some IKEA lamb rug thing with, like, it looks like a little bottle of antibacterial shit that we use on our hands during COVID or a crystal. I don't really know, but I wouldn't really be surprised if Whitney was praying on either of those things, really.
Or just a big piece of rock sugar. She could be that too. So she like puts it down and we think a scene is about to start, but then she's like meditating and then she starts remembering the fight in Vegas. And we see Jen Shah going, Whitney, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. It's like echoing. And then like,
it's in black and white
images. It's like when you first get a camcorder and you're using the effects, like, ooh, the drunk effect, you know?
Or, you know, when you're still in Final Cut Now to this day, like me. I mean, we do have a lot in common with these editors. We're like, hey, let's put that effect with dots on people's faces just for fun. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
We really need that at the Crappy Awards. So then we go over to Fita Tequila, and Lisa's wearing a red fur, and we see that she's working, but she can't get the memories out of her head, and she's remembering, you really want to be her friend? I don't. Ooh, ooh, do you ever feel like a plastic bag?
I love that. I love a plastic bag.
I love that.
You can hear me roar. So then we have Heather's memory moment where she just hears, who here doesn't trust Heather? Raise your hand.
And then Meredith is making bacon at home. And which I was like, who's eating that?
Yeah.
Gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free. Oh, maybe he's only eating bacon. I don't know. I just care about what Brooks is eating today, okay? I'm like, Brooks, should you really be doing that? Aren't you on a mint water diet, sir?
Maybe she's just assembling her Lady Gaga dress one piece at a time.
I'm based, you know, what Brooks partnered with Lady Gaga for this one. So she's making bacon and she's traumatized and she's remembering Jen saying, I would never say anything to get in front of someone's marriage. And then Meredith saying, true or false.
And then Jen's making coffee. And then her tortured flashback is Heather in the hotel room saying, the person that's fucked up is you.
And then Mary's just at her fridge, because what the hell else is Mary going to do? I was like, whoa, it's like her own cast trip. She came out of the closet and went to the fridge.
And I was like, what are they going to give her for a flashback? Because she wasn't there. And then the memory is of her getting a phone call from Lisa and Mary going, how do you understand? Crazy.
And then she eats one grape in like her $100,000 outfit and just kind of clunks around her house alone. So then we go to the beauty lab. So we go to the beauty lab, which I'm so excited for Heather making the super classy place right next to the UPS store. I mean, you really know you've made it. So she's decorating. Yeah, she's decorating for her opening of the store. And basically, I think it's like Botox for children, because it just looks like Justice, if anybody's been into Justice. It's basically Justice.
It's definitely giving me flashbacks to Corey's suburban spa in... Secrets and Wives. I forget what that one was called, but it's definitely like in that same vein. She was sort of like a real pioneer on Bravo doing that. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course. You just got lizard.
So Heather is saying, like, this is our coming out party, and everyone, you know, and we want everyone to see it and give us the credit we deserve. And they'll only do that if we're finished with construction, because how embarrassing would it be if we just pushed the construction to the side and said, welcome to our new blossoming business? I'm like, have you seen Bravo? Have you seen how many times that has happened? Have you even met Sheree Whitfield?
No kidding. You even have a product. I mean, you're already ahead of most of the people on Bravo. So she's like, you know, she has a staff meeting and she's like, don't you know what, guys? Like, we're just gonna, like, I don't wanna have to clean this in the morning, so we're gonna have to do it. This is a really big deal, guys. You know, I had a really rough weekend. It's so hard being an ex-Mormon who's also divorced. Do you know what it's like being... They're like, oh my God, just give us a task, okay? Like, I'll literally clean toilets right now. Just please don't let me hear you say, I'm an ex-Mormon.
I know.
Who got a divorce.
So then, like, a guy, I think his name is Mark or something, is like, okay, so we're going to set up a red carpet. And so we got these amazing pink ribs. I'm just going to put them with the stanchions out there. And she's like, why are you calling them stanchions? And he's like, well, oh, stanchions, these are just like the poles that hold the pink ropes. He goes, so is that like a fancy industry word? Like, I've never heard that before in my life. I'm like, Heather, stop talking.
Yeah.
You don't know the word? This is when you say, oh yeah, stanchions, of course. And then you like Google it on the sides. That way you save face.
It's like, this, you know what? This is what it's like when you grow up Mormon. You just don't know things that other people know. Do you know what it was like growing up not knowing what stanchions are?
When I was married to Billy, I wasn't allowed to open up a dictionary. I wanted to. And one time we went to Scary Movie and I brought a dictionary with me and he said, I am so embarrassed. And so I didn't. So to this day, I don't open up dictionaries because I'm afraid someone will leave me. But now I am opening up a dictionary and I'm learning the word Stashion. Is that what it is?
It's like a Stassi mansion. It's like a mansion where Stassi lives. So to make you feel even worse about not knowing what a stanchion is, by the way, I don't fucking know what a stanchion is, and I'm not going to remember that shit either, okay? My brain only has very limited capacity, and I don't care what the little poles with ropes are called, okay?
Stanchions.
So that's it. So, but to make her feel worse about not knowing what it is, Whitney comes in, and she's like, oh, hi, look at the stanchions. She's like, hey!
It was truly the funniest moment of the season. She's like, you know stanchions? You know, you, Whitney Rose, knows the word stanchion? Which so I don't know is you... more insulting to Whitney or to Heather. I don't
like... So Whitney's like, have you talked to Jen about Las Vegas? And she's like, no, you know, I'm not reaching out because I have like deep-rooted issues. And I really don't want to deal with it at the party. And she's like, but you invited her to the party, so... How's that gonna go?
Yeah, and Whitney's like, if it were me throwing the party, I would have said, I'm putting up a stanchion and Jen Shaw can't come across.
Do not cross this stanchion. So then we go to Lake Aesthetic.
Lake
Is that
Effect.
What it's called?
No, it's called a bar called Lake Effect.
Lake Effect. Really sorry, Cucina Morongo. Because you just got screwed out of a scene, okay?
And Valter, by the way. Let's not forget Valter's.
Valter. You're upsetting Valter! so we go over to this Lake Effect place, and Lisa walks in, you know, just in a crazy neon neon purse, neon everything crazy. And she goes, oh, this is a heavy door. Oh, it's heavy!
It's a heavy door. It's a heavy door.
The door flings her.
And then she sees the host and she's like, I'm going to go grab a seat by the bar. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just going to do that. Thank you. So she sits down and then Jen comes in, but they try to make it mysterious. Like, who could be joining Lisa at Lake Effect? Who pushed through the heavy door? And it's Jen. And Jen's like, first of all, I need a drink. And the music goes.
Also, I don't know if you noticed, but Jen is wearing the Versace floaty that Jackie Siegel took onto Below Deck this week. It's like the exact same pattern and everything. So then it's a commercial because Jen needs a drink. So we come back to Lake Effect and it's like. It's like, so how are you doing? She's like, you know what? I'm going to have vodka. And Lisa's like, well, I'm on a diet. You know what? That was like a lot. That trip was like a lot. I was like a womb chair. That was like a womb chair on a hybrid stool in the middle of a booster seat. I don't know what else to say about it.
So Jen is like, well, Lisa, you're the only one who reached out to me. Well, you know what? My heart broke. I was like, you know, I'm like you. I just want to be loyal. You know, I want to be loyal with my friendships, to my family, to my work, to Diet Coke, you know, and my feelings can evolve, right? Like Diet Cherry Coke, it evolved to that. It's okay. I love that. I love that.
You know what? Saccharin to stevia. That's where I'm at right now. And she tells us, she's like, last week I was at the hotel and the elevator doors slide open and it was Jen and she had no makeup on. And you could tell she was crying. I mean, she was still in like a fabulous little outfit. But then I asked her, like, are you crying because the elevator couldn't trust you? And then, you know what? Like, let's meet up in Utah and talk because I know that must hurt. Like, I want to hear your side of the story, too, because I love that. And so she tells
her. By the way, how long did Jen Shaw stand in that elevator waiting for the doors to finally open up and then to be one of her castmates? She probably was there for half an hour going up and down and just like. I was just crying all day. Look, it's like, finally, Lisa, someone can see me like this.
And then they'd open on a new door, and she'd be like, get the fuck out of here. This is my elevator.
This is my cry elevator, okay? You do not do this to my family.
So she's like, look, you know what? There's a couple of moments like that dinner, like that wasn't like awesome, right? I mean, it's not like a good look to like always be leaving, because like after dinner, they were like saying things. And I was like, I don't like think she's like saying those things about me. And then Whitney was like, yes, yes, she is. So like,
yeah, Whitney said that basically you were trying to get information about all of us, and that you went and scoped out every Diet Coke machine in all of Vegas to try to find all the dirt. But the truth is this, I brought my own Diet Coke, so she couldn't even find anything of me, okay?
And so then Jen pulls this move, and she goes, you know what, if I'm okay if people want to misinterpret, but when things are being taken and twisted out of context, I can't stand that. I'm like, Jen, we all saw you. You were being shady as fuck. And I applaud that. You're a real housewife. You should be shady as fuck. But then don't start making it that they misinterpreted your very obvious.
Oh, no. This is so Jen. This is so Jen. And everybody by now, I'm sure, has seen this Instagram post of Jen. Oh, my God. Going off. I think it was last week. Going off with, I think it was one of her gays, like one of the Shaw Squad or something. Oh, and she's like, and these ladies tell me to be quiet, and they make me just sit there in Las Vegas. Well, guess what? That is you putting your knee on my neck. And people were like, really? Oh, you're going to George Floyd yourself now? That is it's so fucking tasteless and disgusting, yes. Right? So the internet's been going crazy, rightly so. I mean, what a monster. And so then she comes out with another Instagram post where she's with her husband this time. It's like bringing him back up. And she's like, you know what? For those of you who were upset with me because you're saying that I was comparing myself to George Floyd, I'm really sorry that you misinterpreted that. It's like the same thing from here. But that is not true. That is not true. So we can move on now. And I'm like, yes, it was. It was not misinterpreting. You're an asshole. You are the asshole.
If people are misinterpreting what you're saying over and over and over again, then maybe you're just not saying it right to begin with.
Yeah, okay? It's literally on tape, you nitwit. So yeah. Lisa has to keep finishing her sentences because Jen can't come up with anything. She's like, I'm okay. Like, if people want to misinterpret, like, words, then that's, you know what? Then they're twisting it and you didn't say it? I did not say that, okay?
So you made a comment to Whitney saying something like, I'm going to drown you in my pond. And for you, that's like something funny and big to say. It's like a statement. But, you know, we all know that she's an idiot and she should be drowned anyway. So I totally support it.
And Jen's like, you know, I know I go hard. But I am the way I am because of my culture, because of what I've gone through and where I've come from and how I was raised. I'm like, I will give you benefit of the doubt that it's probably not the easiest being a person of color being raised in Utah. I for sure will give you the benefit of the doubt, but I'm not gonna let you just put everything onto like how I was raised, my culture, this and that, whatever. Like, at a certain point, there is also just like some of it is just you. It is just you.
Because yeah, at some point, you're just an asshole.
In the same shoes.
Because guess who else is formed from who they are? Like, guess who else is who they are because of their culture and what they've gone through and how they were raised? Literally everybody. Okay? Like, that's not an excuse to be a monster, and you're being a monster. And Lisa's like, you're just misunderstood. She's like, yeah. Like, I wish someone would take time, like you, to ask me why I'm like that. No, you don't get that. You're an adult. You act like that, and you're out. That's it. People don't owe you a fucking... You don't get a question and answer session. What are you talking about?
Thank you, Ron. Thank you for saying that. You know, that's what I always say. When someone is like, oh, they're really nice, you just have to get to know them, I'm like, why can't they be nice like right off the bat? Like, I don't have time. I actually do have time. I actually literally have time, but I don't, but in general,
like I could be eating a snack, you know,
I could be playing doing better Animal Crossing
with that time. Yeah.
I just feel like I have this optimistic view that like most people are like really good or cool or interesting if you get to know them. But I just don't always want to get to know them. I just want to be with the people that I click with right away. And if you're going to act like, you know, a monster, then I'm going to be like, fine, someone else can deal with that.
You know, like, you may, you can have your own drama all you want, but let me tell you who really has drama. There has been a princess. She has been kidnapped by a giant lizard. I mean, and only me, as a little person dressed with a red hat who goes, hoo-hoo, can save her. Mm-hmm. Okay? And yeah. I need to get to that. So.
You need to, yeah. Because you know why? You know why you need to do that? Because Princess Peach was always
she's nice.
Cool. She was nice. Like, she wasn't. I mean, she's kidnapped
all the time. Like, literally, she is a professional victim.
But she is, like, otherwise, literally, she's so nice. Like, at a certain point, I know we're not supposed to blame the victim, but it's also like, Peach, like, why do you keep emailing Bowser? Like, you know he's going to do this to you. Peach, how many times do we have to tell you?
Get a security system on your fucking castle already, okay?
Like, literally, could you, or take Krav Maga, maybe. Or carry some pepper spray. Like, at some point, Peach, you do have to take some steps to protect yourself. Okay? Yeah. But that being said, Peach is never like, oh, you just have to get to know me. It's like, no, Peach is cool. So, like, even though it's kind of getting annoying, we'll go and find her.
And then she goes into her, as Derek on Facebook called it, her Color Purple monologue, which is hilarious. Oh, she goes into her Oprah Winfrey, Sophia from the Color Purple monologue. She's like, all my life I've had to fight. I had to fight my brothers. It's like, okay, calm down, Oprah. Okay. I'm not so hard at that comparison.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that, like, yeah, I, you know, I'm sure she has had to fight, etc. But I don't know.
It's
I
feel not
like
that
at a certain point, like at a certain point, you're just also just like
I'm not saying she
you're
didn't
being
have,
ridiculous.
I'm not discounting anything about how hard it was to grow up. I'm just saying people like this, every single time they're caught doing something wrong, go into a victim monologue. You know, and we see it. Right. We just saw it with Carrie this week on Dallas, where it's like, oh, you're an asshole. My daughter tried to commit suicide. It's like, well. You're still an asshole. Like, I'm sorry that happened, but right. Can we stay on this right now?
Okay. I also don't know what it means. Jen says this a lot. She always goes, I go hard. in what? You go hard in what? Like, all you've been doing is just, like, hanging out, shopping. Like, what are you going hard in? What is this?
She goes hard at people. Like, she loses her temper or whatever. And Jen's like, you know what? Because Jen's going, I had to fight. Yeah, fight. And to be
defensive.
And defensive, yes. And I always had to be prepared to
fight. I mean, I've already said fight. I mean, I can keep doing this, but you know what? Just use less words. Okay, here's the thing for me that's like the most important thing to me. Diet Coke. Also, I just need to know that, like, you're not trying to hurt me. And Jen's like, never. Like, I saw Meredith hurting, and I wanted to say I'm sorry that I even opened my mouth because people can't take it the right way. I'm like, oh, so now they misinterpreted you saying that her husband was cheating on her, which also was not misinterpreted.
With great power comes great responsibility, and that's what Jen Shaw learned. If she opens her mouth, you know, people are going to not take it the right way. She should have known by now. Yeah. So now Jen is saying that she's really hurt by Heather. She goes, I thought she was my friend and that she had my back and understood me more than anybody. And to find out she doesn't hurts me deeply, deeply. I'm like, how does Heather not have your back? Like, she literally does nothing but have your back. Like, that's all she does in life.
Yeah, but like you stop working for free and people will still get mad at you, you know, even if you've worked for free for 20 years. And that's what it seems like Heather does. Like, she henchmans for Jen all the time. It's like, you know what? You could be on time every day for work, but if you're late one day, you're still going to get written up.
And that's kind of how it feels. And that's right, because Jen is a monster. She really is. And she's like so over the top. And then Heather finally is like, that's not cool what you did. Like, the moment she clocks her just a little bit, it's all of a sudden Heather doesn't have her back.
So is she going to go to the beauty lab party? And she's like, I don't even know. Yes, you are. There's cameras there. You're never going to miss that. So,
Lisa's like, the worst thing for me is to attack my character. And Jen's like, when you attack my character, that's when I go from 0 to 100. My character, my family, anyone I love. I'm like, so, like, what doesn't make you go 0 to 100? Because these are all pretty big topics. And also, did Heather attack her character? Did I miss that? I don't think that Heather did. I think Heather said that you fucked up, but she didn't attack the character.
Yeah, and also Lisa's trying to tell her, like, you're coming after my character. And she's like, yeah, that makes me mad when people come after my character. Like, she always switches around to her being the victim. So Lisa's like, you know what? So just so you understand, like, when you go too hot, you leave yourself open for more judgment. And she's like, oh, my God, this is, like, what I deal with in my marriage. Because, like, he says, like, oh, I can't even talk to you because you're too feisty. So, like, maybe I need to take it down a couple of notches with the girls.
Like, maybe. Maybe not screaming at your friends will make them a little bit more receptive to what you have to say. So now we go to America's Sweethearts.
Even going through a Jennifer scene is exhausting, seriously.
It really is.
I'm like, bye, everybody. Thanks. It's been a really fun day. I've, like, gone so high in anger, and now I'm like, oh, now we have to watch this idiot salsa dance for 30 minutes.
I know.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
We go to Meredith in the kitchen with a giant bowl of lemons.
Seth, you want some banana? I sliced a banana for you. Isn't that nice, Seth? Seth, banana.
Like, oh, I love the new Meredith.
She's like, yeah, you want me? You like how it sliced?
She's like, I'd like it cut in quarters, please.
I'm like, wait, why do you want? Was there a joke there that I know he, like, laughed, but was he, what? I didn't get if it was just a joke. I didn't get it.
Or he's just saying, being like, do it better, like, do more, you know.
Oh, I really thought he was
just like a really
quarters.
Sad, boring people version of moonlighting, you know. It's like very, very boring, witty repartee. Yeah. So we see clips of their Ohio fight because Meredith's like, well, Seth and I are in a great place, but, you know, it took a lot to get there. And then we see their Ohio fight. And she tells us she's really excited to move forward with Seth. And they're just being very positive. Like, you still ain't moving to Ohio. So are we just going to... That's my way to solve a fight. Like, just stop talking about anything, you know?
Yeah. Also, Seth was clearly wearing a new vest and he wasn't comfortable with it because he was standing all like... He was doing the thing that I do, which is, like, I'm in front of a camera. I can't show everyone my hunchback. So he was just all, like, standing very, like, chest up and out. And I'm like, okay, Seth, we get it. You're in a new puffy jacket, puffy vest. You're uncomfortable. Okay, you can settle in a little bit.
So they start talking about Vegas, and he's like, oh, man, that is, like, toxic, toxic city, city. Say that really fast. Toxic city, 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 city.
I mean, I have never had this kind of volatility with my friends in my life. I mean, speculation about our marriage, it's like, is that your business? That's why I say I'm going to have to disengage, all right? This is what I have to say, all right?
Disengage. Okay, Seth. And he's like, you know what? Say we work on it. Our relationship was fucked up. We fucked other people. Who cares? Like, Jesus. This guy only moved to Utah because he heard the snow was good and was so disappointed when he found out it was just cold there. You know what I mean? His eyes are like, doink. He's all red. Just get him off the camera, Meredith, okay? Please. Save us all some drama.
Yeah, exactly. So, So
like, I started wiping my nose. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, Seth really skews me out. I'm sorry. So Meredith, she basically says the other women are focusing on her relationship with Seth because they're deflecting from their own. I'm like, yeah, you're on The Real Housewives.
Duh.
Duh.
It's like you didn't read the instructions before you started playing this game, Meredith.
I know, this is not PBS.
Yeah, so Whitney is going to the Hair Academy to meet with my dad, who is probably healed. On one hand, I think he's probably doing really well with his addiction. On the other hand, he's wearing Guy Fieri sunglasses on top of his wig. So, hoping for the best.
He is now auditioning to be an instructor at a hair academy, which is good. They said they were looking for someone who is a man but also has the wig of Diane Warren. So he should really fit the bill.
They were searching for Adam Lambert's hair, but Vicki Lawrence's face from Mama's Family's Face. And I think he's going to get the job.
They really want some 2002 Liza Minnelli hair. So I think he's really going to really win.
So he's giving a little class and he's like, hey guys, right on, right on. All right, guys, I'm going to show you some hair, okay? Now, there's three ways you can do this. You can cut it. You can get a big lighter and start the end of it on fire. Or you can put it on your tongue until it melts and gets you kind of high, which we're not doing right now. But this is one way to give a haircut. Right on, right on.
All right, what I like to do is I like to do, on the left side, I like to crimp, do a little crimping. On the right side, I do a perm. I call it the crimp perm or a perm crimp. I haven't decided yet. And then in the back, you just do a straight up razor, all right? Because no one cares about the back. That's a joke. That's a joke. Anyway, no, but I actually do razor it.
He's like, well, hopefully you learned some tricks watching me do that little inch of haircut I just did there, because just looking around this room, and no offense intended, but there's a lot of bad hair in here. So good luck, guys. Okay.
So
there was I mean, that was a bad room of hair. Okay, I'm just gonna say that. So then we go over.
I just thought it was funny. It was like all these like 22-year-old girls, and then this guy, like this like older dude with this like Liza Minnelli wig, being like, "All right, gosh, here's what you do." All right, and then Whitney's just sitting there. I'm like, I wonder if these girls, this is what they were expecting when they showed up for class today.
Yeah. So then we go to Beauty Lab, and what do those t-shirts say? Because I love them and I want to get one. Hold on, let me scroll back up.
Which one?
I'm making people hit their steering wheel on purpose right now. What? It says t-shirt? Like, life is short, get the lips or something. Hold on, where's the game?
Yeah, it was something like that. Like,
life is short, buy the lips.
That's what it said. Which one?
Love it.
So so Heather's with her staff, and she's asking them what they're going to be wearing for the party, etc. Like, again, this is like a lot of that energy that I talked about a few episodes ago of like the mom who shows up at the school dance to help out, you know, because it's all like, you know, 17-year-olds. She's like, hey, what are you guys going to wear? What are you guys going to wear? You know, like, she, you know, she volunteers to help put up the Mylar at the prom, which is not a bad thing. I like it a lot. I think that's a really cool energy that she has. But it's an energy that I picked up on. So so then they're all getting ready for the party. And Meredith shows up with a nice big old hair clip in the back of her head. And they go to the back room to talk about Vegas, which was disappointing and disheartening.
Yeah, you know what? Do I think that Jen has maybe some not positive stuff going on in her life? Yeah, all right. And do I have compassion for someone who has, like, really hard stuff going on in her life? Yeah. But, like, does it make me sad to, like, see someone suffering? Yeah. I mean, look at Ohio. It's like the whole fucking state. But you know what? Like, she's behaving that way, and that's that.
Yeah. You know, it's like, she came into my house, she touched my kid. Oh, wait, sorry, that was Beyonce and Obsession.
So Jen is now being dramatic. She's like, well, what she did was toxic and negative, and you hurt my family, and if I hurt her family, it's like, okay, but, you know, she was just kind of spreading rumors, and you were dating someone. I mean, not to, you know, not to go too crazy in defense of Jen, but Meredith really flips the switch in this episode, where she's like, you know what? I'm going to kill you with my Brooke Shields stare and eyebrows bigger than a sidewalk, right?
Yeah. So Heather's now saying that what she needs from Jen is a clear apology. She's like, if my daughters had a friend like that, like, what would my advice be to them? I would be like, I wouldn't be like, understand her, embrace her, take it on the chin. I'd be like, make sure she becomes a repeat client and then kick her to the curb, you know?
So she's crying because she's Heather. So then we go over to Vita Tequila, and Lisa's in a zookeeper outfit. You know what? Here's what I want to know. Where is Curious George? I've lost him again.
Hi, Sydney. Hi. That's how she says hi to everyone in the office. Like that. Like she's going down a slide and then rising up. Hi.
Hi,
hi, Sydney. Hi, Sam. Hi, Vanessa. Hi.
Brandon from Social is amazing. I love the product. Looks super clean. You know what? We're going to go with that narrative, okay? Yeah. Let's just go with the clean narrative. Because, you know, they're like hygiene products. So let's go with clean. You know, I was trying to work womb into something, and then I thought, how clean is that? You know? Like, it's a lot of goo, and you usually shit the table. So let's take womb out of it and stick with clean.
I really like the idea of going into hygiene. Also, hygiene. Hi.
And the whole family comes in with big gulps.
Gulps bigger than any womb chair we've ever seen. Like, those big gulps were... those big gulps, it was like they were each holding a Shea Stadium in their hands or something. It was just, like, enormous, right? And so, and then the son is like, well, everyone needs Diet Coke in their life. Yes. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, okay, kids, so you know what? This is your first life being my children, and then your second life, you know what? That's your second life is your profession, and that's how you're gonna like buy your Range Rover and your McLaren. It's like, yeah, those are my kids. You know what? Maybe I'm not good at hot dogs, but I'm good at inspiring my kids to build things. Henry, stop stacking things on the table. It's really loud. Henry, stop it. Henry, please like, stop it. You're a mogul.
Stop that.
Meanwhile, they're like, by the way, Mom, you don't make good hot dogs for us. Like, we actually never said we liked quote unquote hot dog sushi, whatever that is. So please stop serving it. So so she's like, okay, Jack, I want you to practice your pitch with Sydney. Hi, Sydney. Hi. Okay. All right, Jack, do it. He's like, okay. This is Fresh Wolf. It's a product that my brother and I started, and it has a lot of different,
okay. Take it from the top. Can I touch your deck? Okay. All right. Let's try it from the stop. Henry, stop playing with the straw. You're a mogul. Fresh Wolf straw. Hi. Can I not touch that in your mouth? Okay. Thank you.
All right, let's go over these ingredients, Jack. Okay, what is the ingredient that Dad needs the most? And he's like, turmeric, because it restores hair. And the dad's like, fuck.
What? John just gets casually shat on this entire season, by the way. Just like all the time.
It's like, what have I ever done but make this family businesses? And Lisa's like, love it. I love that.
You know what? After John asked me to spend more time with my family, Froschwolf gave us the opportunity to do that. And at the end of the day, I know I'm a good mom, a good wife, and a good shampoo. So you know what? There's no disputing that.
Okay, I want you to pitch this to an investor, okay? And like, let's see what you can do. If you're willing to say it, what will you can do? You can do anything if you're willing to what?
Drink that Coke.
Yeah, and that's true. What else can you do if you're willing to what?
Bring you Diet Cokes.
Yeah, and what else?
Stack things. Turmeric.
And?
I don't know. I quit.
I love that. You weren't willing to work for it. You weren't willing to work.
So then we go to Mary's church, and there's a close-up on this portrait that says Rosemary Cosby and Jesus. And Jesus is just like cradling the grandma. And when Mary walks in the room, the choir goes nuts. It's like choir practice. And they start crying that Mary's there. They're like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm like, this is a woman who takes all of your money from you. Okay. Like, she reportedly takes all of their money. It's not even like normal. It's like Jesus got a raise. He gets 10% and Mary gets like 90% or something. And they're crying.
They're like, so happy to see her. And there's no indication that she's any good at directing a choir or knows anything about music. She is literally like Keith Raniere in that Nexium documentary where he's like an expert on everything. He's like, okay, I'm gonna show you guys how to make a movie. Okay, it's really simple. Okay, first you say all women are whores. Okay, because that's what men think. Okay, and now we're gonna do a movie. Okay, now you've learned. That's what she's like.
And she goes up to one of the guys in the band and she's like, you need to drink some water. Okay, guys, let's go. Have you been practicing? We don't need practice because you know what? We're led by angels. Yeah, okay, guys, let's go. Okay, this is called Who Can I Follow? Because she's like, okay, guys, start. And they're like, Jesus on the sidewalk. And she's like,
wait, let's.
Guys.
Let's do the choir hitting their first note. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1.
Jesus on the sidewalk.
And she just keeps moving her hands really fast and then really slow.
And they're all like, their eyes are like open. They're like, we're not allowed. If we stop singing, we don't get dinner tonight.
Yeah, one girl just keeps crying, like either in total awe or total terror. I can't really tell what. And so she's like, okay, this game is called Who Can Follow, okay? And if I'm standing up here, that means you follow me, okay? Got it, Joy? And this lady's like, yeah, I got it.
She's like, being a choir director, you can hear people sing at you. I'm like, aren't they supposed to be singing at like Jesus or something? I don't think they're singing at you, Mary. But this choir is, I would say unison may not be their strong point.
Well, it's so unfair because they're trying to follow her and she's not even directing them. She's just like waving her hands down. It's like she's got a flat tire on a freeway and she's just standing out on the street waving her hands for somebody to stop. They're like, wait a minute, this is not even how the song goes. She's like, where's the tap section? I need the tap section. Idiots.
Yeah, she reminded me of my elementary school music teacher, Barbara Brofsky, who would do this thing where she would just do this one thing over and over again, this like strange, like she was hailing in a an airplane,
yeah. Two flashlights.
I know, it's like a 747 lands on our school play.
And then so, she's obviously doing a terrible job, so she keeps just dissing the people in the choir. She's like, okay, here we go, we're gonna go again. Okay, you know what, Ethan, why are you daydreaming? Why are you in the park right now? You're in the park, you're probably over the moon right now. Melvin? You're way over the moon, Melvin. You know what? Melvin, start Amazing Grace. Start. And he's like, Amazing Grace. And Mary's like, the hell? And she's like, think about what you're singing. Think about it. You were lost, but now you're found.
They're like, we haven't slept in 6 days.
We've been sleeping on benches. We got evicted.
So now Jen and Sharif are at salsa lessons because he's going to do something nice for her. And this was the scene where I realized that Sharif talks to Jen like she's 4 years old. Did you notice that?
4 years old. He's like, baby, we're going to do some dancing now, baby. You've always wanted to have dancing class, baby. So now we're going to do... Are you happy, baby? Are you happy with dancing, baby?
Before we eat this, we're just going to do a little dancing. You want to do a little dancing, baby? Mm-hmm. You want to do some dancing, baby?
Now, baby, you know I love my baby, right? Right, baby?
I know you've been waiting 25 years for the salsa lesson. Come on, you baby. I'm like... Ew. I was like, I've actually really liked Coach Shaw all this time. But then seeing this, I was like, this is condescending.
It's like when you're with a kid and they're having a fit in the mall and you're giving them ice cream just to shut them up and just so you can finish shopping, you know? And it's like, okay, are you okay? Are you feeling better? Are you feeling better now? Can we keep shopping?
Shopping. Awkward. So
shopping. Yeah, this is also the longest scene in the world. I don't know why they needed half an hour of Jen salsa dancing with her husband being creepy with her, but I was done after about five of it.
It's because Bravo decided to give us a supersized episode and then realized they didn't have the supersize. So they're like, let's just watch them dance. And then for some reason, there's a romantic table set up in the middle of a dance studio that probably smells like sweaty armpits. So enjoy this romantic chocolate-covered strawberry moment in the middle of a dank studio.
Yeah, so then they sit down for their romantic part, and she apologizes. And it's kind of a Jen apology because she's like, you know I've treated you badly or like in a way that you didn't understand why I was so resentful of you. I'm like, oh, okay. So you're mad because he just didn't get why it was all justified because of dads. Right. Okay, got it, Jen. Got it.
And I was on her side with the dad thing. I thought that he should have gone to the funeral, but I mean, gosh, you know,
me
she's
too,
still ridiculous.
But that's not, she's, and she has nothing to do with her throwing shit at a party and embarrassing him in front of everybody. That's ridiculous.
So then she starts reciting this mantra, which she also pushes really hard, which is that my intention is nothing but good. My intention is nothing but good. I'm like, well, I'm sure if you asked the people who stormed the Capitol, they would say their intention was to save America, and that was nothing but good intentions, right? Doesn't mean it justifies storming the Capitol.
Yeah, or someone like drunk driving and hitting it, you know, hitting someone in the street. Like, I didn't intend to hit the kid in the street. Whoa.
My intention was to drive safely.
Yeah, my intentions are to be a waist size 30, you know, and have a film career like Brad Pitt's. What do I win?
My intention is to not make fun of strangers on the internet, but here we are.
I will never have that intention. That is one intention I can say I will never have. And she's like, I want to be the best version of Shah. And he's like, well, baby, I know this about you. Your heart is always good. You have to say this is who I am, and I'm sorry if I hurt you and acknowledge your shortcomings. But you know what you're not going to do is you're not going to sit here and say I'm a bad person, okay? Because we know you to your core. I'm like, you haven't heard one real thing that's gone on this season yet either, sir. You're going off of her stories, which are all like, can you believe these girls attacked me for no reason?
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, baby, we're not going to call you a bad person. We'll call you loud and selfish and unreasonable and histrionic and hysterical and oftentimes annoying and greedy. But you're not bad. You're not a bad person.
Now, hold on. Eat this chocolate strawberry. Let me chew it. All right, honey. Here you go. It's ready for you, poo-poo. Eat the chocolate strawberry.
You know, I've never thought of a more romantic moment than sitting here while the fresh scent of Degree deodorant wafts through the air from that dance instructor and feeding you strawberries.
So then everybody's getting ready for the party, and Heather's gay. It's like, oh my God, what are you going to do tonight? She's like, I don't care. I'm getting laid. That is so not Mormon of me to say it, but I'm going to do it.
And then Meredith is like, doing like a catwalk. She's sashaying in like a black pleather suit. And Brooks is like, oh my God, that is beyond. Thanks, Brooke. No, I'm talking about the sprig of mint in my water, mother. You look awful.
She's like, maybe I can make this into a blazer dress and just not wear the pants. He's like, Mom, are you really taking your pants off on camera?
Just clear like, wow. Him. And this looks like a dance studio outfit, by the way, that you have to buy when you're like in tap as a kid. Guilty. I've worn this like in so many tap recitals. And it turns out, we find out later, that Brooks, he paired up with another designer to make this. I was like, oh, who? Alibaba? Give me a break. I'm not buying it.
I did not like it either. Although I will say I consulted Dominique, and he said begrudgingly that it was on trend. But we both agreed that it did not look right on her. I'm just saying that's so that way people don't say, actually, guys, it's on trend. It's actually on trend. So I'm just saying that to say, like, we are aware that it might be on trend, but it's not on trend for this. And by the way, it's not on trend for a, like a suburban strip mall spa opening, I think.
So, let's see. Whitney calls Heather, and she's like, fa fa foom, do not make your hair shorter. Make it higher, because the taller your hair, the closer to God. Ha 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 ha. And then we're at Beauty Lamb.
And Heather is in that Pepto-Bismol dress that Jen tricked her into wearing. It looks, it's like pink ombre, I guess you would call it, maybe. I don't know. It looked like a weird...
Yeah, but like, you can't do like ombre in pink because it looks like the Pepto-Bismol once you drink it, and then, you know, it like sludges down the side, so it's lighter colored than the rest of the bottle.
It looked like it was fizzing on the bottom or something. Or like it looked like it was Pepto-Bismol, but someone had just dropped an Alka-Seltzer in it, so it was starting to fizz on the bottom. So she's in this thing, and Heather walks in, and she's like, oh, pretty stanchions. See, everyone? I learned. Unlike Jen Shaw, I can learn.
And there's like cotton candy drinks and huge lip cookies and everything's pink and cloudy and stuff. And then she's hired like 5 photographers to stand outside and take everyone's pictures so they'll feel famous. And she's like, I can tell you this, Mormons really know how to pull off a party.
And then there's like a cold gust of wind and we see some dead leaves blowing outside and in walks Ichabod Crane, also known as Billy.
Billy. What's wrong with Billy? I feel bad Billy. Even saying anything bad about Billy because it seems like he's one of those people on the chairlift commercial, you know, where the lady's like, how am I going to get up to my bathroom? And they're like, we put a chair on your stairs. And she's like, oh, and then she sits down and it just goes really slowly up the stairs. And you're like, that lady shit her pants already, guys. But yeah, there's something lost and vacant about him and sad.
He's like a premature senior citizen. So,
go towards the light, Billy. Go Billy, towards the light.
Billy, are you still with us? Billy, Billy. Too much time in that hot tub. He is just like a California raisin at this point. So Heather's all like, she's like, wow, you know what? Mormons really know how to pull off a party. And so she's like, so Billy's like looking around and he's like, I love the clouds. Yeah. Yeah.
Really? It's like his cool. First party. Really, really cool. And she's like, it's so not normal to invite your ex to your opening, but guess what? We're not that kind of family. This is how we do it. Welcome to being Mormon.
Yeah. And then Billy sees the step and repeat and goes, Hollywood.
So she goes through her storyline like, I cannot believe I am a woman who was so worried about divorce, and now I did everything on my own. So she does that and takes him into like a private little room. Is this where she takes him? Yeah, she's showing him like one of the private doctor rooms or whatever. And she's like, I mean, what do you think? Like, what do you think of all this? Like, do you think it's amazing? And he's like, wow, I am so impressed. You are so successful. You deserve it.
Well, poor Billy, he never quite got over the fact that I left him in the tanning bed overnight by accident at the old place. He's never been the same. She's like, you know, I just feel like I'm opening the door to an identity that's separate from my ex. My old identity was someone who was married to Billy. My new identity is someone who talks about how she was married to Billy.
So then Mary comes in and takes some super awkward pictures. She's like, and then Meredith turned to come in and wow.
That. Before Meredith, when Mary walks in, she like notices all the napkins say things like messy AF. And then there's like water bottles that say thirsty AF. So Mary sees them and she's like, what does the AF stand for? After the fact? After the fact? Messy after the fact? I was like, Mary, first of all, even if it were after the fact, why would a napkin cause you to be messy after the fact?
Well, I guess it's like an after the fact nap. It's messy and then the napkin cleans it. So it was, I don't know. That train of thought. Just don't get on that train.
You're right.
So Meredith comes and she's wearing like a screen door as a face mask. Like she looks crazy. She looks like a crazy person trying to come in through your screen door head first.
She looks like she's trying to do like mocap, motion capture with her face. Like they put all the little ping pong balls on there. Like she's actually like somewhere there's like a lab of like geeks who are just like coding her face onto like Madden 2022.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really glad that we live in a world that we accept our gay children now for the most part, you know, or definitely more than we did when I was growing up. But there is too much acceptance, you know? You can accept your gay son without accepting his terrible advice. You know?
Yeah, I have to say that mask was, I mean, we'll always remember it. We'll always remember it.
Yes. So she comes in and everybody is cracking up at her. And she's like, that's a high fit. You know it's her because it still jerks. Like all the little diamonds are moving. She's like,
well, all the diamonds are sliding to the side.
Yeah. <She's in. laughs> This is like a horse trying to shake diamonds off her face, you know? With So she's like, this is high fashion. You just don't understand.
Okay, so even if it is high fashion, and even if I don't understand, why are you trying to dress like the Met Ball at the beauty lab opening next to the UPS store? Okay,
I know. You walk into the beauty lab dressed like something that needs to be removed. You know? It's like, when did you let Jax put his penis on your face? Because you look like an outbreak. So she comes in, and Mary's like, yeah, I didn't get that. Don't wear that again. Amazing Grace from the top.
Yeah. Then Whitney is trying to make fun of it. She's like,
look, it's high fashion. You wouldn't understand. But she has a surgical mask all over her entire face.
And then Meredith is like, Brooks, this isn't Brooks' Mark collaboration with Christian Cohen. You'll find it at Kohl's or any other well-stocked grocery store.
Yeah. Next, Brooks is going to be collaborating on mint chicken nuggets. We're really excited.
So then Lisa shows up on the red carpet, and there's like an X on the floor. She's like, oh, does X mark the spot? I love it. Hi, photographer. Hi.
So hugs. Everyone's saying hi. And Meredith is drinking through a straw in her mask, and they're all cracking up at her. And so Lisa goes up to Meredith, and she's like, oh my God, Meredith, love this. So how are you feeling? That's bagos. It's like, I'm okay. You know, I settled my faith in my own mind. What does that mean?
I don't know. Lisa's like, so I met with Jan. It was great. She got vodka. And we went to Lake Effect. They have a really heavy door there. Have you ever tried to open the door? Don't love it. I tried to touch and it dragged me in, okay? Don't love it.
But, like, I, like, love you so much. Like, I understand the dynamic. Like, as loud as she is, like, I think she's equally insecure. It's, like, equal parts pomade, insecurity, and volume. But you know what? I love feeling good. Have you heard of turmeric? I think it's really good for your hair. And we're all nice people. You know what? Can you lift up this mask? Oh, my God, you're beautiful. You're gorgeous. Look, Listen.
And Meredith is like this.
She's like,
because it's like giving her an evil stare with her head tilted. Like,
it's like when Darth Vader has to take off his mask in Return of the Jedi. It's like, I was not ready for this. You're making me not fashion forward at the moment. So Lisa's like, so I went and heard her, and I think that was good enough, you know? And Meredith says, you know, I know that Lisa loves my family, and so it surprises me that she seeks someone out that was trying to harm my family. And that's not something that a close friend does. You know what a close friend does? They put a bunch of rhinestones on a piece of plastic and they shove it on your face. That's what a close friend does.
Well, you said that she was toxic and disloyal, and so there's a disconnect there.
Well, you know what? I'm not committing to a relationship with her. I'm just listening and hanging onto that door handle for dear life, because I almost died.
I have whiplash. And so Meredith says, well, you can be a friend with everyone you want to be friends with, because I'm not Jan Shan like that. I just want to state for the record, you can be friends with whoever you want to be friends with. But I just care the most about my own space. I literally care about my own actual space, which is why I have stars on my face right now. That's why I have this.
Yeah, she does that thing like, I'm not going to tell you who to be friends with, but you can't be friends with me at the same time because I'm going to be protecting myself. So don't make a choice, but make a choice, bitch.
Pretty much.
And she's like, well, you know what? I hope, like, if I were in the same situation as her, or, you know, she was in the same situation as me, or, like, Jen was in the same situation as her or me,
you know what? I forgot what I was talking about, but you know what I really like? Diet Coke big gulps. And that's what we really need in our friendships, okay? So, like, that's the courtesy I'm extending. I've got one in my bag.
And she's like, well, leopard doesn't change its stripes, but you know what? Spot a leopard and you can stripe a bull, all right? So you do what you're comfortable with. I'll do what I'm comfortable with. And you can be friends with her and friends with me, except I'm not going to be friends with you. Do you understand?
If you want to be friends with her, here's what I got to say. It starts with a D. We then go to an is. And then we go to an N. And I'm just going to engage. It's disengaging. I'm disengaging. I'm going to disengage from this. Thank you.
Oh, no, I can't hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you can't hear me?
Oh, shoot. What did I do? Did I press mute? Hold on. Hello?
Ronnie, have you disengaged?
No, I can't hear you.
Have you disengaged, Ronnie?
What have I done?
I can hear you. Ronnie has disengaged.
Speaker. I love that. I'm going to talk like Lisa Barlow.
Is the thing here? Oh, my God. Everything is hearing me, but I can't hear myself.
Everyone is hearing
him.
What is
happening?
This is great. It's happening live on our Crappins On Demand. So we can edit this out of the podcast, but it will be a living record on Crappins On Demand. And he can't hear anything I'm saying.
I am disengaging from this right now. Hey, you know what? I need to find myself a mask. Oh, okay, here's my mask. All right. I'm putting on a mask right now.
This all is right, high sorry. Fashion.
This is high fashion. And I've did you just disengage from the disengager? Is
that I'm sorry, happened? But my earphones decided to disengage from this situation. All right.
You know what? Not listening is high fashion, and people in Utah don't get it, all right? That's what I gotta say.
All right, sorry for the Crappins On Demand, people. I'll cut that out of the audio version, but...
You don't have to. I had a blast. I just did Lisa Barlow and Meredith until you came back.
Okay, yeah, good. That. Good, because you know I hate doing any extra work, damn it.
Yeah, don't edit it out. Okay. Listen, this is our 14th... this is episode number 1418. We've done 1,418 episodes of this show. We deserve a.
Why start making an effort now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so where are we? How far did you get in your solo show?
I didn't actually progress the recap. I just started talking as usual. So now we go over to Whitney and Mary. They're at an oxygen. Whitney's getting oxygen at an oxygen bar because, you know, why not live like it's 1998? And so Mary joins. She's like, what's this? What is this? I'm really trying to like work on like Mary's rasp. She has a really.
It's like, what is it? Oxygen, smoxygen, smeridin, smoxygen. Oxygen, jet skin.
Like, so, why is it flavored? What mood am I on? I'm like, Mary, it's flavored because, like you, it's all bullshit. Don't worry about it. Just go with it.
So they're like, it's for different moods, and I think that you're on revitalize and relax, and I just want all of it. And she like starts snorting it in. And so they start talking about Vegas. And Whitney's like, it was crazy. After the hip hop party, I apologized to Jen and we moved on. But then in Vegas, she decided to come after me. And when you were gone, the person in the line of fire became me.
She lit you on fire?
No, no. In the line of fire.
So she put a line and lit the line on fire and then you walked into it?
No. Never mind. Just breathe the oxygen.
Okay. Quick question. What exactly is oxygen?
And how much can I charge my followers for it? Yeah, so then Jen walks in. You know, she's walking in very dramatically, like one foot's like, bam, one foot in front of the other, walking through that UPS parking lot. And then she gets in there, and then they put in a Top Chef. A-yong! Like when they're about to eliminate somebody. It's not the
shit. Did you mean to walk slowly into the parking lot?
So did you mean to pass UPS with such judgment?
Did you mean to forget to pick up your package? So Heather has mixed feelings about Jen showing up, and she's excited that you know, she's excited that Jen has made an effort and has endorsed the business, but she can't forget the shit that's gone down, and she doesn't know if Jen is going to be there to support her or to sabotage her. But that's the double-edged sword that is Jen Shah.
And Jen's like, it's freezing in here, and I was like, maybe don't complain quite yet. You know, you're not in that place yet. So she says hi to Whitney and takes a big martini, actually a very small martini. I was disappointed. I was like, cheap. This was a cheap party. So then Whitney's like, well, I wanted to follow up with you. I don't feel like we had a real opportunity to talk. And she's like, well, I appreciate you talking to me, Whitney. Mm-hmm. And Whitney's like, well, I feel like I've tried to come to you and I have not had results. And I just don't want to be treated badly. And I do not want to have toxic friends in my life. And Jen's like, I'm going to Michelle Obama my way through this. When they go low, I'm going high. And then when I'm high, I'm going to get a knife and throw it down on their ass because there's a better chance of hitting them.
I'm like, well, when Michelle Obama said that, it didn't really work out so well for the Democrats. So then Jen is like, Whitney is like, she's like, I just felt like
I became a punching bag, okay? And if I had a punching bag here with me, I really would have punched it right now to really make the gag work because I'm all about gag humor. Anyway, that's how I feel.
So then Jen is like, well, not everybody understands or appreciates the way I'm used to communicating, which is that I say something and then you guys all misinterpret it. That's how I communicate. Okay. Yeah. So I have to work on that.
No one knows how to read a finger in their face yet. So I guess I'll work on that. But you know, like there are certain things I can't compromise, like my family and my life. And that's why I was still mad. No one's compromising your family, you nitwit. Just say you're sorry.
Yeah, and okay, like, Whitney's... settle down, Liam Neeson. Okay, no one has taken your daughter off to Paris, okay? Like, no one has come for your... Literally, no one actually came for your family whatsoever. The only thing that happened was that Whitney said that Lisa and Meredith are scared of you. That's literally the only thing that happened. I don't know how that becomes if you come for my family.
Yeah.
I don't see the connection there.
Yeah, so Whitney's like, well, first of all, thank you for apologizing. That's what I've been waiting for. And I was like, oh, God, you're so dumb. So she's shocked that Jen is being calm and apologizing to her. And Jen's like, what am I apologizing for? I don't even know. But you know what? I do know. There are cookies over there, and I want out of this conversation. I was like, that's the realest shit you've ever said.
Yeah, exactly. So then Jen just, like, walks by Mary and doesn't say hi, and Mary does, like, an eye roll. Lisa compliments Jen's dress, and then Meredith rolls her eyes. A lot of eye rolling in this moment.
And then Heather gives her speech. She's like, as you know, I am Mormon, and it's really hard to be Mormon and, like, have a Botox place. And people said, you can't do this without your husband. And guess what? I did it with my husband's money, but he's not really here that much. And now it's my money. So thank you.
I just want everyone to know, I recently came out of a divorce, a terrible, terrible divorce where I lost myself and lost my will to understand what it is to truly live. And they just cut to Billy. He's like, hey.
Billy's like, hey, oatmeal coming down his mouth.
So in honor of the new Heather, I'd like to present to everyone the glory hole scene from Scary Movie. Hit it.
So Lisa comes up to her. She's like, I'm so proud of you. You deserve it. You are like a really tender wolf or a lone wolf or a lipstick wolf. You know what? You really know how to put lipstick on a wolf. I'll give you that.
Turmeric wolf. So then then we see Meredith talking to, like, this random dude, and she's like, you know, anytime I've had bad energy come from someone around me, I've ignored it, okay? And it's always made a disastrous mistake. She's just basically talking about Jen.
Always been a disaster. And Jen's right behind her. It's like, hi, how are you doing?
And this guy, he's like, okay, I'm going to go back to the UPS store to finish my shift. I'll see you later.
And Meredith is like, all right. Because she's still doing that, like, cold Meredith thing where she's just, like, eyes daggering into your eyes. And so it's like,
people do.
Yeah, very elegant eye staggers. And so Jen's like, first of all, I want to apologize and, like, make sure you hear me. And she's, like, doing this faux humble thing where she's, like, lowering her head, and it's hilarious. Yeah. It's like,
She's like, let me see if I can trot out my greatest hits. I go hard, but when my family's involved, you know, it's how I was raised. It's my culture. So in summary, I go hard, and if you misinterpreted it, that's going to be on you, and I'm sorry for you that you can't interpret what I'm saying the way it's meant to be said, but I go hard. Thank you.
Yeah, and she's like, I would never do anything to your family other than support you, and you're right, it's nobody's business. And Meredith goes, no, it's not.
Do you know I've lived this past week on bacon strips and mint water? I am in no mood to hear this right now.
She tells us, Jen crossed the line and the damage is done. Will it ever be the same? No, it's not.
I don't know. It may be hard to bridge the gap between Fashion Forward and Jen Shah. I just don't know. So
I need to protect my positive space, and I appreciate what you're saying, but I need actions over time to make sure that there's power in truth.
What is her positive space anyway, by the way? Is it Seth being, I need you to come to Canton, Ohio? Or is it Brooks? Ew, mother. You look stupid today.
Are you cooking something?
The toilet
Are you
won't cooking flush. Something? The toilet won't flush.
The dog shit on your floor.
Ew, mother. Ew.
So, sorry. I was like, oh, that'll keep going.
That was fun.
Okay, so she's episode. Like, yeah, I need my positive space. And Heather comes up. She's like, what are you guys talking about? And Jen's like, oh, I'm just apologizing to Meredith. And Heather's like, oh, yeah, well, we need to talk. And I was like, oh, geez. So now they're just doing a ring around the rosy around Jen, right? It's like Jen has to apologize to everybody. And that's true, but it's very dangerous on Housewives to do this because they're putting Jen into the victim role now. And you never, ever want to get in that trap because then the audience is going to be like, okay, now you're all going to gang up on Jen at a party.
Right. The good news is that Jen is a terrible victim. She doesn't really do it well. So Heather also botches her opening. So she's like, we need to talk. So like, what do you think about everything? And she's like Vegas? No, Beauty Lab. What do you think about everything? I put clouds up on the ceiling. Like Heather.
She's like, oh, well, I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of you, Heather. She goes, you know what? I know. And I feel you are. But like, because of what just happened, I was like blindsided. Like I wasn't, you know, like what the hell? Like we go to a hypnotist in Vegas and then you raise your hand like you can't trust me. That was a huge sledgehammer.
Yeah. It's like, I'm like, you don't trust me. Like, how do I recover from that? Well, I probably can just say I'm sorry and you'll be back in my corner again. Okay, I'm back in your corner.
No, but Heather would not let it go. Jen's like, I didn't expect you to blindside me. I mean, you said that everything is my fault? I was like, what are you even talking about? I was like, okay, so you still have learned nothing, basically.
Yes.
And Heather's like, you came at me like violently, pushed me out of... she did not violently did push not you. Okay.
She was annoying. She swatted at you and it was rude, but like, it's not like she came with a chainsaw.
Yeah, you know? She did not violently push you. And she's like, and then I got no apology, like nothing. Like, you cannot do that to me. That is bullshit. Okay.
Listen, and I know a lot about things that are shitty because I'm dressed like Pepto-Bismol, okay? Because of you.
I was married to that beef jerky doorstop over there. I know about shitty.
Jerky doorstop.
So then Lisa's like, oh my God, they're fighting. I'm like so uncomfortable right now. I'm like a hair follicle with that lone wolf. Okay. I just feel confused and alone. Okay. Lone wolf.
This is like when you ask for a Diet Coke and they bring you a Diet Pepsi and you want to say, hi, waitress. So, this isn't Diet Coke. I know it's really hard and I really empathize with what you're going through, but I really want a Diet Coke. I love that.
And Heather's like, and people are coming up to me and they're like, are you still going to be friends with her? And I'm like, oh no, we're good. Everything's fine. Which, no, you're not doing that either. Like, you're being just as crazy as Jen right now. Mm-hmm. Because nothing you're saying is like based in, it's like based in reality, but it's all a very cuckoo version. And so Lisa's like, you know what?
I've done parties in my career, and I've never had to call security, but it might be time. I'm going to go up to security, and I'm going to say, look at that lady. She says she's a Diet Coke, but she's a Coke Zero. What do you do? And he's going to roll her ass right out of here.
Like a big can of Coke Zero on its side. Just pull it out. So Lisa goes up to Heather and goes, can we whisper? Can we? This is okay. So this is a new take on Can I Touch? It's called Can We Whisper? Can we whisper? Okay, yeah. I love that. Thank you.
And then Heather's like yelling now. She's like, just own it. Just own it. Okay, just own it. Oh, stop being a rent-a-quoter. What are you doing to me in this final episode, Heather?
So Heather basically wants Jen to say, I took you for granted. And she needs Jen to tell her that Heather has been a good friend to her, and that Jen has not been a good friend to Heather the way Heather has been a good friend to her. That's what she needs to hear.
Right. And Jen's like, well, no matter what I say, it doesn't even matter. And Heather's like, own it, own it, own it, own it. You've not shown up for me. And Mary sees it, and she just like a really quick shot of Mary going,
Mary's on her own.
She's so excited.
Show. Yeah.
So then Heather's like, own it, own it, own it, own it. You haven't shown up for me. And Jen's like, okay, I haven't shown up for you. And she goes, and Lisa goes, what does that mean to you, Heather? And she's like, look, I love her despite her behavior and her drinking. And Jen's like, okay. she's like, come on, are you kidding? You shit all over me. She's like, I shit all over you. You shit on me. You know, you yelled at her. You yelled at her. You know, I showed up to your room. And you know what? You can't even count the Shaw Squad as your friends because they're on the payroll. I was the only one not getting paid who was there.
Which I loved that in the history of Housewives, the first time someone finally like told someone that their glam squad are not their friends, they're on the payroll. But also, how sad is it that Heather is the one that went over there? So Jen's like, okay, I'm wrong. I apologize to you, Heather. I'm sorry, Meredith. I'm sorry, Whitney. I'm sorry, Lisa. I know things have to change, and I'm going to work on that. My intention is never to hurt any of you, especially you. But I go hard, and you guys misinterpret me. Oh, shoot, I'm doing it again, aren't I? I'm doing it again.
Yeah, intentions. You know what intentions count for? Sentencing. It doesn't matter in the court case. The intentions are only there for how long you're going to jail, not are you going to jail, you know?
Yeah.
So Whitney...
And Jen doesn't even know what she's apologizing for. She even says it. She's like, the thing is this, I don't even know what the issue is. I don't know. I'll apologize, but I don't know what the issue is. I don't know what the issue is. I'm like, well, see, you not knowing what the issue is the thing that you have to apologize for, actually.
Yeah. And Lisa's like, she needs you to tell her the issue. She's like, yeah, I don't know the issue. Okay. And then, of course, in the moment we all knew was coming, when she's like, you know what? I love Heather. And like, I've made a concerted effort towards Heather. Like, I set up a private shopping event for Heather, and I've never done that for anyone else. So, like, I don't even understand how she can't take that into account. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, because it was performative. Because it was the equivalent of a guy beating his wife and then bringing her flowers the next day, you know? That's what it was. It was like, it was a way of saying, look, like, here is something that I can point to that shows that I'm a good friend. But when it comes to, like, actually being emotionally present and actually, like, being there on like, a deeper level than arranging a shopping spree, which actually seemed to benefit Jen more than Heather. It was, like, it was something that Jen wanted to do for herself, and then she just tacked Heather onto it. Like, that's where Jen falls flat.
So Lisa's like, look, it's a big night for you. Let's just agree to like Lone and Wolf. Okay, like let's just agree. And Whitney's like, you know what? There is some twisted power struggle between Heather and Jen, and it's exhausting. And it is, because Jen's like, I'm sorry. And Heather's like, say it better. And she's like, but I am sorry, but I don't know why. Well, then really? Then you need to be better about it. Do it again. Own it. And they just keep going back and forth to see who can yell the most. And it is exhausting, because it just keeps going on and on and on. And finally, and the ladies leave. And then Heather's like, can we just move on? And Jen goes, yes, thank you. And she goes, I mean, look, it's not about crucifying you. Give me your lip gloss.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
It just, it's like it goes and goes and goes and then just stops. She's like, yeah. Have you been a good friend to me? No. Then can you be a good friend to me moving forward? Yes. That's all I wanted. Can I have your lip gloss? I mean, that's basically what it was.
And Jen's like, fuck off. You can have some dry ass lips, Heather. But then they're laughing together, you know, which is so Housewives, right? It's like the end of the night of finale night. And you're like, God, that was a good fight. Good work this season, sister. You know?
Yeah. So now we're getting everyone's, you know, now it's time to wrap it up. And Heather's like, you know, one thing I've learned, it's hard to be a good Mormon, you know? And then we see a montage of her being crazy all season. And then we have our final sort of like epilogues. So Jen and Sharif have been spending more time together on FaceTime. And to manage her stress, Jen has hired another member to the Shaw Squad, assistant number 8. So there she is, 8 assistants to do nothing.
Yeah. And then let's see, we see the old husband, you know, like standing there for a selfie. And then Mary is going to go get a hamburger and fries. Okay. And it's like, Mary is working on her closet. She has robbed 90,000 people of their life savings this year. Congratulations, yeah. Mary.
And then there's Whitney. After supporting her dad for so long, Whitney is focusing on herself, working on a new skincare line and only swings from her stripper pole.
Also, I would prefer like the regular Housewives ending music, like that dun 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 dun. And instead for this one we get oompa 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 oompa. It's like some weird circus music that they're playing.
Yeah, and like could they have at least played the ya 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 song like one more time before the season ended? It was like the moment that people finally started to catch on. We're like, oh yeah, the ya 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 song, I heard it. They just cut it from the show. It was so rude.
I know. They had a meeting where they were like, guys, do we really want to be known for the ya 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 song? Cut it.
Cut we need it. More ha ha ha, not ya ya ya.
Let's just do like a ha ha ha, but like a Katy Perry ha ha ha, and get rid of the ya ya ya. Okay.
Lisa has scheduled a family bonding trip to Mexico, but as Warren Buffett says, fresh wolf,
fresh wolf, fresh loan wolf, wolf loan. And Lisa takes a selfie with Meredith and she's, you know what? This is like a toxic hamster wheel. And Meredith's like, I think I told you that before tonight.
Next episode, Meredith shows up with a hamster wheel on her face. So Meredith is like, in an effort to work on their communication, Meredith and Seth have returned to couples therapy. They're doing great. But when the topic of moving to Canton, Ohio is raised, Meredith disengages.
Disengaged. So Heather and Jen are still like kind of laughing. And I didn't write any of the end cards down, to be honest. I was like, that Jen salsa dancing scene killed my note taking. I was like, I'm not taking any of these.
Basically, the last one is just that Heather has embraced her new life as a non-practicing Mormon, and she's continuing to search for the perfect man and the perfect meatball lollipop.
I did write down the final lines. Heather goes, oh my God, let's keep a donut. And Jen says, I can't. I'm on the keto diet. And she's like, okay, no donut for you.
Which, by the way, would have explained a lot more. Like, if Jen had just said, I'm sorry that I said those things, but I'm on keto. Everyone would have been like, oh.
Like, yeah.
Why did Jen bury the lead? She's been on keto all this time. No wonder why she's being a mad woman. That's all. She's on keto. Guys, it all makes sense. I totally forgive her. I totally get it. She was on keto. It's fine.
Good. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of Salt Lake City. We are going to get a 3-part reunion, it looks like, for this show.
Yeah.
So we will be back. And it looks pretty spicy. I mean, at one point, Andy's like, all right, I want to move on. And Lisa goes, well, you know what? We're not moving on. And he's like,
you ever hear of Coke 2? That's what happens when you try to move on, okay? I love that.
New Coke. Everybody, we sure love you. Thanks for everybody who's here on demand. We'll be back tomorrow on demand again with Southern Charm Reunion. So come join us there. We sure love you guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying. Okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Higher than high res. She's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Patricia Murdoch, she wrote.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler. Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. No one makes us feel well like Megan Capsewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.